Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
A very good morning to you. This is the Luke and Pete Show. Pete Donaldson with you. Mr. Luke Moore is in the studio doing his thing. Luke, have you done your Christmas shopping? It's the bloody sixth, for crying out loud.
I've done some of it. How you doing? It's nice to speak to all of you here at the official worldwide home of sweet beans.
Well, are you eating sweet beans? Are you having some like fancy Christmas pudding with some secret Hessen Blumenthal style sweet beans inside? Let us know. Are you having sweet beans for Christmas?
Imagine you went into Waitrose, right, and all the Hessen Blumenthal Christmas range was just like sweet beans, but in a different size of containers. And all he was doing this year was sweet beans. I haven't been doing that because for me, Pete Donaldson, sweet beans are for life. Not just for Christmas, baby.
It's not just for Christmas. You don't even give them up for Lent. You eat more, if anything.
No, I do. I need. It's like my life force. I need. Yeah. I need water, the old H2O. Mm-hmm. I need oxygen, and I need sweet beans.
And the beans too sweet.
Guess what I'm giving my family and friends for Christmas this year?
Is it sweet beans?
Sweet beans, baby.
Lord of sweet beans. Well, I tell you what. I'm putting together a few shows for the WrestleMe show. Somebody else has been doing a little bit of Christmas shopping around Mark Haynes' Highgate pile. It's the people who steal catalytic converters.
Oh, yeah. That's still going on, shopping. Is it?
They must be really easy to remove.
And I feel like it's a really 90s crime.
It is a really 90s crime. Is it though? Catalytic converters came in the 90s, and I think they've only just started to figure out that they're actually worth quite a lot of money when it comes. But they must be A, really easy to steal, and B, must be really easy to actually fence, actually church. Like, how do you kind of, who would you sell a catalytic converter to? Because I don't fucking know.
I think if you put three things of around the same size on the table in front of me and said, tell me which one's the catalytic converter, I would have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right. let alone who to sell it to. I told you guys, I think
it's Robocop's cock. yeah, it looks like Robocop's cock.
Does it really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I might have told the Luke and Pete Show family this story, but one of the very first things to happen to me in London when I first moved here back in 2004, August 2004, was I went to a local pub to meet a friend for a drink, and a bloke tried to sell me a car battery in the pub. So he came into the pub.
Right.
I don't know what his vibe was, although I'm sure you can probably work it out yourselves. Tried to sell me a car battery, and I said to him, "Thanks very much. I don't have a car, so there's no need for me to buy a car battery. Appreciate it anyway." Then he left, and then, like no word of a lie, 5 minutes later, he came back in with a deli-sized block of cheese.
Yeah,
he said, "Well, do you want this? Yeah. You must like cheese."
And I said, interested.
I do like cheese, but I'm not that interested in buying cheese in bulk from a man who also sells car batteries, you know?
It's adorable that he's only ever selling stuff that's in a big block, like a big square.
The big square, that's all he sells,
So good on him.
So anyway, I don't know if I'd be the right target audience for a catalytic converter either as a purchaser or a seller.
Yeah. I think that in many ways he probably had you pegged as a street musician.
Almost certainly.
Probably your vibe.
No, too fat, isn't it? Doing too well.
Too well, yes.
Eating too well.
Living off the lamb, yeah. Oi, oi, oi.
I was well into my sweet beans even then, mate.
Yeah, mate, the sweetest. And back then, you could, before the sugar tax, they could be even sweeter, to be quite frank.
Oh, exactly. That was not talked about when the legislation was drafted at all. The sweetness level of the beans was not mentioned. Pete, I've got loads of stuff I want to talk to you about, because our keener-eared listeners will know that we pre-recorded a couple of shows last week because I was away. And so I want to talk to you about being away and all the rest of it, and I'm sure that'll be fun. But something that's caught my eye is that you've watched the TV show Midnight Mass that I was talking about.
Right, yes. I've started watching it. We're three episodes in. No spoilers.
Okay, I won't spoil, despite what you did to me in Game of Thrones Gate. I will not spoil
I mentioned that there was like a dragon or a barrel or something, and you were like, "Oh, do not tell me about the dragon or the barrel."
Barrel spoilers are the worst spoilers. I will not have you.
You will not believe what Donkey Kong got up his fucking sleeve.
I will not have you talking about barrels willy-nilly. So I'm pleased you started it. I will keep my powder relatively dry until you're done. But I recommended it to a bunch of other people, but I didn't recommend it in a kind of, this is amazing. I recommended it as a kind of, this is quite an interesting show.
Right.
It's good in parts, it's bad in parts. It's just a very talkable show. So I'm interested to hear what you think of it. What do you think so far?
I mean, to be honest, Luke, I forgot that you'd even recommended it. Vicky from Clash of the Titles mentioned it. So
oh, fucking yeah, you're proper mates. Oh, at least you're proper mates. Fucking hell.
Even though she didn't even recommend it, she just started talking about the main priest. It's no secret that there's a priest in this thing, and he's very interesting and charismatic. And it was just on, and Sarah said, "You know what she says?" Well, yeah, fine. Vicky said there's a priest who's quite charismatic in it, and you know me, I love charismatic priests
because of your childhood and that.
Because of my childhood in the Catholic faith. But yeah, it was it started all right. I'm at the three episodes in. It's gotten a little silly, and
strap yourself in, baby. Fuck you now. Listen, trust me.
A priest's gone to the homeland, and shit's going on.
Do you know what? Maybe you can answer this now. I am of the opinion that he massively is just massively channeling Nick Cave.
Yes.
Doesn't he remind you of Nick Cave?
Definite Cave vibes. It's the hair, it's the clothing. I mean, to be honest, Nick Cave's probably just channeling the Catholic faith, really. So Nick Cave is, in my opinion, the
greatest living human. So, I mean, he's going to be the gold standard for me. I just think by far, the priest is by far the best part of the show.
It's
just
definitely
so watchable. You're waiting for him to come on screen all the time.
It's nicely shot
and it's interesting and stuff. But yeah, trust me, man, it gets fucking weird.
It gets weird. Okay, cool. Yeah. It does it get a bit, what was the first, is it the first season of True Detective or the second where it got really weird, like weirdly weird?
So the first season's brilliant. With its Matthew McConaughey talking about finding the Yellow King. All that time. That's good. The second one, has that got Mahershala Ali in it?
That's the third one.
Oh, the third one's good.
The third one's good. Second one was a bit... That the second one has the bloke from Swingers. What's his name? Tall, tired looking fella.
Oh, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I didn't stick with that one. It got panned, didn't it? And I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
But the third one's very, very good. And the second one got Colin Farrell in it as well, who I like.
Yes, yeah. It's very watchable, but like this show, it's very watchable. Everyone's there's a woman who looks like the wrestler Nia Jax in it. you don't know Luke, but it amuses me every time. I think she's going to body slam someone through a table, so that's enjoyable. I really like the sheriff. I really like the townsfolk. I like the weird woman with the weird freckles in the school. Oh, it's very, very watchable, but I fear it's going to get silly and I'm going to lose interest.
No, promise me you'll stick with it. It's not that many episodes, is it?
I will.
So stick with it.
It's only 7 episodes, yeah?
Yeah, because it's definitely worth sticking with, just because...
All right.
I mean, you know, I guess if I was being generous, I would say it's obviously just unlike any other show, basically, which is kind of a good thing. And there's an amazing use of... You know, listen, everyone knows about Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond, especially after the summer that we've just had. The real heads know that the best Neil Diamond song is actually Holy Holy. And that show's got one of the best uses of that song in it that you will ever see or hear. So it's definitely worth watching even just for that scene.
What, just for a little the dancing scene?
No, it's just, you know, sometimes they put music on TV shows, Pete. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, something that fucking occurred to me literally last night. I've started rewatching The Wire for a reason that I won't bore you to death with, but I actually just realised, and I wonder if this is something that people already knew that it's never occurred to me. You've seen The Wire, right?
Yeah.
There's no fucking music in it. There's not
even
a single piece, huh?
Not even a little bit of gangster rap.
There's the only music you hear in the show is music,
music
that the characters in show would hear. There's no atmospheric music. It's called is it called diegetic music and non-diegetic music? There's no music that the characters in real life wouldn't hear, which has got to be unique for a modern TV show, surely.
I think you're in a situation where, yes, I guess it has to be, but I mean, it was straight off Homicide: Life on the Street, wasn't it, really, I suppose? And they kind of took their cues from that a little bit. So there wasn't any incidental music in that, apart from the little kind of doom-doom kind of noises in between and the theme tune. Mm. Yeah, you're right, actually. That's really interesting. Why isn't there any bloody music?
And I think it's amazing how that they're able to build up tension and still make it like fully interesting and stuff, even without that. It's kind of, it must be unique. Our listeners will have an opinion on that, I'm sure, because it's a very popular show. But
I'll tell you what, you moved on pretty quickly after saying that Neil Diamond's best song is not Coming to America, which is a massive...
Oh, that's a good tune as well.
Any song off the Jazz Singer is... look, if you've got a few days off between Christmas and New Year, sit your family down, watch The Jazz Singer. It's a lot of fun. Neil Diamond playing a role that's been played a million times terribly, and a lot of Neil Diamond songs. It's really good.
I would say that I know that Neil Diamond's become synonymous with this kind of crooning style and the Sweet Caroline thing. I am fortunate.
It's Jewish Elvis, mate. He's fucking great.
I do consider myself fortunate on this, that my mum used to play quite a lot of Neil Diamond when I was younger, and but the earlier stuff, so like Velvet Gloves and Spit, the kind of late 60s stuff, which is, if you listen to now, it actually sounds really fucking good. And I'll tell you something now, I was walking to that Acast Christmas party on Wednesday. Yeah. And
and they've still got to go to Nottingham and get something.
Yeah, no.
It's confusing.
Sound like that, didn't it?
The way you delivered that was like, I was going to that bloody party on Wednesday.
I was walking there and I thought, I'm not going to get the train all the way there because I just can't be asked to do public transport a lot now. So
Not when it's this weather. If you've got a nice warm coat on, if you've got your over jacket and you're walking, you're absolutely fine. It's going down into the tube, taking your layers off, getting out the tube, putting the bloody layers on again. It's horrible.
Fuck that. I'm Boris bike or, well, I shouldn't call it Boris bike actually because that's pathetic. Santander bike or a walk. And I walked from London Bridge down to the city and I listened to a Neil Diamond selection of songs. The Holy Holy came on. Just brilliant. It's just fucking brilliant. It makes you feel like $1 million, man. It's just great. By the way, speaking of the Acast Christmas party, so for those who are listening who don't know what it is, what Acast is, they're the kind of tech partners, the commercial partners, the company that we partner up with to deliver a lot of services, and we work closely with them. So we got invited to their Christmas party. Lucky us. Great. It was fantastic. What wasn't fantastic, Pete, I don't think I've I don't think I've admitted this to you yet, so this will be something that you can react to in real time, is that I saw across a crowded bar, because of how tall he is, presumably, predominantly, I saw Dan Snow, BBC historian Dan Snow.
Oh, yes. Apparently he does very... I didn't know who he was, because, you know me, I just don't know who people are, really.
Yeah.
Certainly do telly. And yeah, they somebody said that somebody from Aircast said that he does very passionate ad reads. They really like his ad reads.
Oh, he's a very passionate man. I went over to him because I'm a history enthusiast. I went over to him, and he's got a show called History Hit, which I like. He did a series of episodes of a podcast about the First World War, I think for the BBC, which was fascinating. I might have mentioned it before, but it was fascinating chiefly because he discovered that his grandfather was one of the negligent generals responsible for a lot of deaths in World War One. And as a historian, he tackled that in a really passionate way. And it was actually a very compelling listen. So I went
He didn't do any of this, actually. I've just looked at my history books.
No, I didn't. I went over there. Worse than that, I went over there and I got someone from Acast to introduce me. And, you know, at the time, you feel like you're having like a fairly interesting conversation. I think I was just talking at him. And he was very gracious and very nice, and I've got nothing but good things to say about him. Very polite man, very nice man. I think he would be perfectly happy to never see me again.
Yeah, did you get it wrong? Did you get it wrong? You wouldn't have got it wrong, because you're quite, even when you're pissed, you're quite ordered with your thoughts.
Yeah, but that's different between you and me, Pete, is that people will think that you're a little bit furtive and a little bit odd because you'll be different. With me, they'll just think I'm a belligerent idiot.
Right, okay.
So we've all got our crosses to bear, mate.
I didn't appreciate the word furtive there, but we'll
shuffle about a bit, don't you? You know,
shuffle about. I was holding court with the youngsters at Stack, chatting about my, you know, the drugs I'd taken in my younger years. They were shocked and astounded. Then I chewed Marcus Bronzy's ear off. And after I drank loads of ginger and rum, and then I attended
then you pulled the fire alarm.
The food table. Started eating all this. They had this weird kind of sprout and steak stick thing that I was eating. Loads of them. Terrible steak. Excellent sprouts.
Really? You'd think that's hard. Yeah. That's hard to do. That's hard to get it wrong in that way.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, steak. Yeah. You'd think that would be the easy thing because steak's delicious. But
the reason I say this is because a lot of the feedback we get at the show, the reason people like it, it's just like talking to two mates down the pub. We're both awful in the pub.
Awful. Awful down the pub. Have I spoke about this on the show? Speaking of historians, there's a guy on Twitter called John Bull. He's like a pop historian sort of thing. I don't think it's his real name. But we were having a chat about a couple of things recently. And he brought up this amazing fact. You know when you like do a house survey? Mm. You know, you like sort of, you find out, you know, whether there's some, you know, taxi firm around the corner with an FM license or whatever, or a UHF license or whatever, and you find out there's a wind farm coming to your area, or there's radon being found in the walls of a building, you know, down the road or whatever. This is the government have an obligation to let you know, the local council let you know what's going to be happening in the area, what dangers, is there subsidence, is there radiation, stuff like that. They have a responsibility. One thing they don't have a responsibility, and it pulls into sharp focus what happened last week in Germany, in Frankfurt, I think. They don't have to tell you about unexploded ordnance in your area.
Should be top of the list, that.
Hot MILFs, unexploded ordnance. I want to know where the hot MILFs are. I want to know where the unexploded World War II bombs are. It's incredible.
I'd absolutely love it if, as part of your house survey, there was a sheet of paper in there in the binder that just said hot singles in your area. Just listed them all. And then the next page.
Dora, number 23. Bombs. Frank, number 25.
There should be... but is that purely an issue of practicality because they don't actually know?
No, they do know. It's in if you query Hansard, they can tell you. But it's in the record. It's in the public record that where they are. They just don't tell you in a house survey. It's incredible.
I don't think that they can know all of them though, because you hear a lot about they've discovered this or they've discovered that.
Yeah, but they know enough that they know that there are unexploded bombs under our feet. They know where they are, and presumably it's only when you ask for permission to build something or drill somewhere that these things come out. But it's just incredible. Yeah, like so yeah Didn't
so
know
you're saying that, like, during, for example, because we're both sat in London-ish, you talk about, for example, the Blitz, and there's a load of bombs that are dropped on a particular area of London, and then, you know, several of them explode, all the rest of it. Mm. Then, presumably, if a bomb drops, it doesn't explode, but it's left at the, you know, the bottom of a crater or something. Are you saying that at the time I just used to build over it?
Well, not immediately, but I presume that... I mean, they must know where the big hole was. They must have written that down. I mean, somebody must have went, right, probably better to keep a list of these because they're quite dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not going to give it, it's not going to have produced a big hole if it's not exploded, is it?
It's going to... How big do you think the bombs are? They're massive. Massive they are.
I'm just saying that I think they know where some of them are, but not all of them.
But I think they should have an obligation to tell you if there's any in your area.
If there's a bomb in the flat downstairs after this, I'm going to be pissed off.
Exactly. It's probably, yeah. Look, Highbury. I don't know what they built in Highbury, but you might be, our studio may very well be above a big bloody doodle bug or something. Was that, well, one of ours? I don't know the World War II.
I've done my fair share of conversational bombs in this studio, I'll tell you that. No doubt. Listen, Pete, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some emails from our lovely listeners. At this point, I am almost contractually obliged to say that we want you to email in over the next week or two with emails related to your best and worst Christmases. We're going to cover those on some of our Christmas shows. So email in, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. You can email in about anything as usual, but we are particularly interested in your best and worst Christmases and why. It could be an event, could be something that happened, could be something that, you know, didn't happen, whatever. Best and worst Christmases, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We will read out some of our favourites. We'll share a couple of our own stories as well. Let's keep them. I'll take it as read, and so will Pete, that you had a shitty one last year because of COVID. Don't email about that.
Don't worry about that.
Be creative about it, and we'll read out some of our favourites. And we'll be back with some emails for this week after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back with the Luke and Pete Show. Before the break, Luke was asking for your worst Christmas stories, or worst Christmas best stories, rather. Any Christmas stories at all. We're still technically under Hanukkah, Luke.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you've got any of them, throw them in the mix as well. Yes, if you want to get to the show, it's really easy. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Luke, have you got an email for us and the listeners, but mainly the listeners?
I have. It's from Dunk, who has got in touch referencing hand dryers. I'm not going to say mistake, perhaps in some quarters, slightly controversial claim that you don't really see poor hand dryers anymore. Like the standard right. is very high. And then we talked a little bit about why that is. Probably improvements to technology, access to better technology, the fact that your new kids on the block, your Dysons, they kind of act more as windscreen wiper type dryers rather than actually drying the water on your hands. They kind of fire it off and that's why it works. Anyway, Dunk has been in touch and said, I heard reference to hand dryers on a recent show. Brackets, I occasionally dip into your podcast, but haven't listened to the in-depth discussion. Rude. He then goes on to say, I have spent years taking a photograph of every new dryer I encounter. I have an archive of hundreds of high-quality images. I will sell them at the right price. For your information, the best dryer is the Accelerator Eco Dunk.
Right, okay. So I'm looking at the Accelerator, and to be honest, the Accelerator Eco does stick in the head because...
You recognise it as soon as you see a picture of it, right?
As soon as I heard Accelerator, I thought that's the one that kind of knew the kind of the mouth doesn't have a rotatable dimension to it. It's just built into the unit. They're sometimes in brushed aluminium or chrome, and if they're reflective, they're frequently dirty because it's a toilet for crying out loud. But I have a look on the website. The Accelerator XLSB hand dryer in brushed stainless steel. It's top of the tree. It's £744, including VAT. That is the Rolls Royce of hand dryers for me, Dunk. I completely agree.
Have you experienced it though? Can you vividly remember actually experiencing it yourself?
I remember when I see an Accelerator, I think Bunce. I think premium. I think quality. I think this bad boy's going to dry my hands super quick.
I wonder whether, I know what you mean, they're very powerful. They're top-down operated. They're very powerful. Presumably with the Dyson, you're probably paying through the nose if you're running, say, for example, a service station and you have to get them installed and it's a big old thing. They're probably expensive. It's probably why you don't see them in there. They take up a lot of room. I think I don't mind seeing an Accelerator, but I don't love it. I don't love it. And you said, how much did you say they were again?
700. Crack it on for 700, 800 quid for including VAT. But then maybe you can claim back the VAT. I don't really understand how it all works.
Does that seem a lot to you for a hand dryer?
I don't know. It's got to be durable. It's got to be safe. It's got to work in quite wet environments. If you go to the kind of bars that I go to, violent environments. So, you've got,
got a bit
as long as it's mounted on the wall.
Blood
properly,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've got to be okay
on your clothes.
Yeah.
But listen, Dunk, thanks very much for your enthusiasm re hand dryers. I don't think I want the archive, personally. I think that's probably too much. Even for me, thought you would have gone for a Dyson. Fair enough. I'll tell you what you also get in service stations. Have you ever tried those little chewable toothbrushes? You must have.
Oh, the little chewies. Yeah,
it's
you get two
you,
in
that.
A little gachapon ball. Yeah. Almost every time I've been in a service station where they're selling them, to be honest, Luke, I get involved quite a lot.
do they actually work? Because I've seen them from afar. I've admired them from afar, but I've never quite had the confidence to, A, have a 20 pence piece on me, or whatever it is, and B, actually try them.
They have. It's not like wet paste, toothpaste. It's like dried crystals around that are kind of like formed around the fibres. They're not pleasant in any way. Just by chewing gum, I think.
Just a breath freshener, right?
It's just a breath freshener.
Because toothpaste used to be powder, didn't it? So people used to use tooth powder before toothpaste was invented. So I guess it's a bit of a throwback to that, I suppose.
Well, you see a lot of people on like Instagram and stuff where these influencers use this kind of tooth powder and they brush it on their teeth and they're really kind of sparkly and white. And they're basically saying to us, we've tried the paste, we're trying something new now. Mm. The powder is the new thing to use. But of course, like you say, you quite rightly say, people always used to use powder before they used paste, to be quite frank. So, yeah, it's like when they try and sell us solid-state aftershave, where it's like this wax-based or non-oil-based.
I've never heard of that.
Have you not seen it?
No.
We must have different algorithms, but I get served this fucking advert for these twats with this little kind of, like, little... It's like a little Altoid tin filled with this fragrance, and they're sort of rubbing it on their neck and rubbing it on their hands. It's so silly.
I've never heard of that. I mean, I got fed up of Instagram, to be honest. I know people don't want to hear it on this show, and I certainly know advertisers don't want to hear this, but I just find it boring. I just deleted it off my phone. I can't be arsed with it. It takes up too much time. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you ever get that feeling where you're like sat around? I know you probably do, but you don't care because you're a different animal to me. But like, I just think to myself, last half an hour has just disappeared. I've done nothing. I've learnt nothing. I've achieved nothing. And all I've been doing is thumb scrolling down through Instagram with people, some of which I care about. But if I care about them enough, I know what they're up to anyway because I speak to them. And people that I just don't give a shit about.
It's people who, for me, my algorithm is just people dancing to the forget me not. That song.
Yeah.
Just a lot of people dancing, smiling. It's too much. I just never knew the future would be so dancey. Everyone's
it's
just
much
fucking
more
dancing
than
all the time.
Definitely. Much more. I mean, that wasn't really a thing at all, was it? It's much more dancey than we think. But what I would say is this, like, for me, I guess I don't really know who to follow on Instagram because if I follow people I know, fine, that's obvious. Cool. But that's just a social media thing. I got rid of Facebook ages ago because I was bored of that. So that kind of makes sense. Brand content a lot of it's very boring. Famous people are fucking boring. Football clubs and institutions just put out really boring shit that you know about anyway. You know, it's like companies just put out product. I just don't really get it. I just can't be arsed with it. I'd rather just sit around, read a book or something.
Yeah, and if you do want to join Stack as the head of social media, get in touch, Pete.
We are literally advertising for one at the moment, aren't we? Terrible by me. Listen, it's never going to be me doing the job, is it? Fucking hell.
No. Well, not now. You failed your interview,
I'll
prick.
Tell you what, that's the challenge. The challenge is to make our Instagram so interesting that I want to get back on it.
That you want to go on it. Yeah. All right. We're kind of hurtling towards the end of another show. We're going to get some more emails next week. Not next week, this Thursday. It's just 2 a week. We need social media when we're busting out this amount of content every week, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you would like to get in touch. And also, we want to hear about your worst and best Christmases. Last year, always going to be rubbish, but we want to know about
how rubbish
Christmas
was yours
shows.
Last year, by the way?
Say again?
How rubbish was yours last year?
You know what? Mine wasn't too bad. I drank a lot of green ginger wine. I think I played... Christmas is always the time that I play a lot of Football Manager. And let me tell you, this year, Newcastle United got a bit of money in the fucking bank.
Oh, mate, you're going to have a lovely old time.
I'm going to be having a lovely old bloody time. Things have changed.
I read something just briefly before we go. I read something the other day, maybe even yesterday, that said, and this could be bullshit because who fucking knows what's true and what isn't these days. It said that Boris Johnson is going to decide what to do re-Christmas on the 18th of December. That can't be true, can it?
That's the rumor. Yeah, I think he's just doing that because he knows he's going to give everyone a Christmas, so to speak. Like he gave one of those gave everyone a lovely London bike that time. He is giving everyone Christmas, and he's only doing that for a bit of slight peril, so to sort of give him that kind of leeway.
So he's lowering expectations to raise them again.
Yes, and in the meantime, he's dressed up as a policeman. Do you see him dressed as a SWAT officer in the press? He's announcing his 10-year plan to tackle drug addiction on the same weekend that it's been found that a lot of people are using drugs in Westminster. just very important to dress up like
a policeman. Who could have seen that coming? By the way, tough on law and order, having defunded every single fucking criminal part of the criminal system possible. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But also, do you not think that people aren't going to... I don't think he's got much room to manoeuvre anyway, because people aren't... If he does introduce some kind of measures around Christmas, even if they're not that draconian, people are just going to ignore it, aren't they? There's no way people are going to say, they're not going to say, although I'm triple jabs now, I'm not going to go and see my parents for Christmas, especially after what happened last year. It's just not going to happen. They're never going to be able to control it.
Well, and especially because the thing that always sees off the Tories is sleaze. It happens every bloody time, and they leave whoever comes in after them with a failing economy and fucking bins in the street. But they're not going to do it now because of that little wee party, the little party they had over Christmas. But it doesn't matter. It's because Dominic Raab says that we don't investigate historical crimes. We don't investigate.
People get caught out saying that all the time. I've heard so many MPs say that in the past. Like, they don't realise what they're saying. Like, what are they going to investigate then? Fucking future crime. It doesn't make any fucking sense. He also said that if it was a formal party, it would have been a problem. What?
It's fucking mad. What does that even mean?
The worst thing about the whole thing is that people put up with it. People are so comfortable, in my opinion, for the large part, people are so comfortable in their lives and so almost indifferent to it that they get away with a lot more than they should, because people just don't fucking care enough. They don't see a link between changing that kind of thing and their lives improving, because that link's been broken, some would say intentionally, by the political class. Anyway, on that bombshell, we are at risk of going from two people who are terrible in the pub to two people who are really boring at the end of a bar in a pub. And that's neither of our stars, because Pete can't stay in one place for too long and I have a very low tolerance for alcohol. So it wouldn't happen. Thank you very much for listening. Let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday. As Pete's already mentioned, we do want your best and worst Christmas stories for our Christmas shows. Anything Christmas themed, really. We had a really good time with that a couple of years ago doing that. So let's do that again. Hello@lukeandpeter.com. And until then, we shall see you on Thursday. Say goodbye, Peter.
Bye-bye, Peter.
And it's goodbye from me as well.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.